Grandpa, Grandma read us a story.
You want a story?
Yes.
You want a story, Kelly? Okay, listen, Grandma will probably read you a story, okay? I'm sure she will. But why don't you get the other kids outside, okay? Go outside and see if they want to come inside, and Grandma will read a story, okay? All right, go get them.
Right, left, right.
Okay, kids, come on. Get in here, hurry. Hustle. We're going to get Grandma to tell us a story. Grandma!
Yes?
The kids want you to come in here and tell a story. You got time?
How about reading a story, not just telling a story?
Reading a story, that sounds good.
All right. If everybody's kind of quiet, gather around, and I'll read a story.
Fantastic. Here we go.
Hi, boys and girls. This is Grandma. Remember yesterday Jesus told his disciples to go and find this donkey and bring it to him so he could ride into Jerusalem? We wondered why he wanted that. And then we wondered, what if the owners didn't want the disciples to take it? What would happen? And this is exactly what happened. As they were undoing the colt, the owners came up and asked, "Why are you untying the colt?" And what did they say? Just what Jesus told them to say. "The Lord has need of it," they said, and took it away. Perhaps the owners were believers in Jesus and were glad to lend him their animal. When the disciples returned with the donkey, Jesus must have told them what he was going to do with it. The time had come for prophecy to be filled. Suddenly, a great hope rose in the heart of the disciples. Could this be the moment they'd been waiting for? Was Jesus going to let himself be crowned King of Israel after all? How wonderful, how glorious. You see, even though the disciples had been with Jesus all this time, they were looking at everything as being right now, today, in a couple years. They did not realize that he was actually going to be killed and crucified, and that he was not going to be crowned king and come back for his people and set up his kingdom for 2,000 or 3,000 years. That would have just absolutely blew their mind. But Jesus tells us what we need to know when we need to know it. They had no cloth of gold to put on the donkey's back, but each one of them gladly offered a garment to make it look as fancy as possible. Then they set Jesus upon it. What pride and joy welled up in their hearts as they saw him sitting there. True, he didn't look much like a king. He wore no crown or royal robes. But there was something about his face that made him more than kingly. It was the kindness and goodness and strength of character shining there. Suddenly, the donkey took a step forward. Someone shouted, "Blessed be the King who comes in the name of the Lord!" And others took up the cry. Soon everybody around was shouting, "Blessed be the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Every moment, excitement grew. People came running from all directions to find out what was going on. "What's happening?" they cried. "What's going on here?" "It's Jesus of Nazareth, the great teacher of Galilee. He's going to Jerusalem to be crowned King of Israel. Can't you see him riding on a donkey?" Just as the prophet said. The more and more people joined in the shouting, "Blessed be the King who comes in the name of the Lord." Boys and girls rushed to meet and join the procession, their eyes alight with gladness. This was their day. Now they could let everybody know how much they loved the man who had been so kind and gentle to them. At the top of their voices, they shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David." As Jesus rode slowly on his way, the crowd became denser than ever. The Bible says most of the crowd spread their garments before him on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the ground. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" Now some of the priests and rabbis and rulers came on the scene. They were not pleased. Those who managed to get close to Jesus said, "Master, rebuke your disciples." But he answered, "If these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." By this he meant that the prophecy of Zedekiah must be fulfilled. The time had come for this to happen. Nobody on earth could stop it. As the procession neared Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." It was indeed. Only he was more than a prophet. He was a king. Their king. The king of Israel. The king of our white race. The king of kings. And he was riding on his royal way to the city of David. What a pity everybody did not receive him gladly. How different all history might have been. But it was a great day for the disciples, their last happy day before the cross. It was also a great day for the boys and girls who followed him. Never would they forget the thrill of that wonderful procession. And it was a great day, too, for the little donkey. In his wildest dreams, if donkeys dream, he never thought he might carry his Creator on the day of his triumph. If donkeys think, he may have thought. The Lord could have chosen a lion or an elephant or a beautiful Arabian horse for such a wonderful occasion. But instead he chose me, a little donkey. And what was it that the two disciples said as they went to untie the donkey? The Lord has need of it. Yes, he had need of this humble little animal to fulfill a great prophecy on one of the greatest days of his life. What a lesson for us all. It could be that we, you and I, are like that little donkey, just standing around with nothing much to do, perhaps thinking that nobody cares for us. But Jesus cares. He remembers us, he knows where we are, and he has need of us. Today, in what may be history's greatest hour, he has something for all of us to do for him. A lovely little prayer would be, "Lord, if you need me, show me how, and where and when. Help me to do my best for you. Use me as you will for all the way to the New Jerusalem." What a procession that was. There had never been anything like it in all the history of the world. True, many kings had ridden in triumphant, but never one without a soldier, a weapon, or a flag. Many a king had gloried in the prisoners that followed him, bound with chains. But this king rejoiced that in all his procession, they were bound by bonds of love only. Nobody here had been forced into service or struck in anger. The followers of this king, this conqueror, had felt nothing but the gentle touch of his loving hand. Nobody here had had his eyes put out or his back beaten with rods or his feet crushed in the stocks. Instead, here were the blind to whom this king had given sight, the deaf to whom he had given hearing, the lame whom he had made to walk, lepers whom he had cleansed, and at least one whom he had brought back from the grave. No wonder there was so much cheering. No wonder everybody was shouting, "Blessed be the King who comes in the name of the Lord." Then, to everybody's surprise, the procession stopped. Those who were ahead no doubt walked on some distance before discovering that Jesus wasn't with them anymore. Hurriedly, turning back to see what had gone wrong, they found a great crowd of people gathered very closely around the Savior. Here indeed was a strange sight. Jesus had stopped his donkey at a high point on the road from which Jerusalem could be seen. He was looking at the city and seemed to be talking to it. Yes, and of all things, he was crying. Tears were coming down his cheeks. Whatever was the matter? Whoever heard of a king crying when everybody was shouting his praise? Those nearest to Jesus pressed close to hear his words. "If thou hast known," Jesus was saying, his lips quivering, "even now, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto your peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon you that your enemies shall cast a trench about you and compass thee about, and keep you in on every side, and shall lay you even with the ground, and your children within you, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation." He had foreseen the city's doom. What words for a king to say to his own city! But this was no ordinary king full of pride and vainglory. This was the King of kings, the King of our people, who was about to be rejected by the very people he loved so much. For where he stood, he no doubt could see all the royal pomp and glitter of Herod's palace, as well as where Pilate would release him to the mob. The very buildings where the chief priests and rabbis would scoff at him, where the Roman soldiers would mock him and spit upon him, and only a little way off, outside the city wall, was Calvary, or Golgotha, where they would crucify him. It was also near, very near. Yet Jesus did not cry for himself, but because of the poor people of the city who would suffer in years to come because they had not recognized their Messiah when he came to them. From where Jesus sat upon the donkey's back, not only could he see the temple and the royal palace and all the hundreds and thousands of little homes, but looking into the future, he could also see the coming of the Roman armies to sack the city. He could see the soldiers storming the walls, setting fire to the buildings, putting thousands to death, and taking the rest into captivity. Remember, our people were back there, and they were taken captive, and many went over the Caucasian mountains into Europe. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stone them which are sent unto thee, he cried, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. How much Jesus would have done for Jerusalem if only her people and her rulers had yielded themselves to his love and given their hearts to him. It would have become the greatest, most beautiful city in all the world. It would have been known not only as the city of peace, but as the city of light. The city of love, peace, light, and love would have flowed from it like streams of living water to the ends of the earth. It was a lovely dream, but it couldn't come true. The time had arrived, but the people weren't ready. How terribly disappointing, how very, very sad. You know what? Little by little, our time is coming, and many of our people are not ready. That is why it is our purpose as disciples of Jesus to be witnesses. We can't make people believe in Jesus. We can't make people understand that the white race is Israel and his people, his special people. We can't make them believe, but we can witness to them. Even if they're not ready, when the time comes for Jesus to come, he will come. No wonder the King of all cried. Okay, boys and girls, this is it. I will see you again tomorrow. And remember, no matter how little we are, just like the little donkey, when Jesus needs you, we need to be ready and we need to be humble, just like the little donkey was. Okay, I love you. Bye.
Hello, this is Attorney Jason Brown. Are you aware that the rural area lost to development between 1982 and 1997 is about equal to the entire landmass of Maine and New Hampshire combined? Are you aware that the rate of rural land loss to development in the 1990s was about 2.2 million acres per year? If this rate continues to the year 2050, when today's white tallers are middle age, the United States will have lost an additional 110 million acres of rural countryside. That's about equal to the combined areas of Connecticut, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Vermont, Delaware, Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, and Virginia. If you think we have problems with immigration now, what do you think our children will have to face in 2050? Get involved and let's fight to protect our white heritage and culture. Go to KKK.com because we care.
You are listening to KKK Radio. We are speaking a message of hope and deliverance for our people. Your faithful support will keep us broadcasting, reaching out, touching and changing lives. Send your donation to KKK Radio, P.O. Box 2222, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and join our team bringing truth to America.